turns 12. Starting in verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how great you are to consider that these things we read are just pictures of your character. And you want to work your character through us. You've put your heart and spirit in us, in your blessed Holy Spirit. And dear God, we thank you and praise you for that. And I pray you'd help us to learn from the word tonight. And I pray you'd help us to, by your Spirit, to trust you and to live, dear God, what we learn. Heavenly Father, I pray for Stephanie in the nursery tonight. Bless her watching the children. I'm so thankful for those who work the nursery and watch the children. Sometimes in many churches, it's such a thankless task, and yet it's so needed. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for that. Father, speak now to our hearts afresh and anew. Be with those who could not be here tonight. Might they know we miss them, we love them. And might they find just solace in your word and prayer tonight. And Father, I thank you for these here. Be with those away traveling. Be with those away ill. God, we love the assembly. We just miss folks when they're not here and when they can't be. And Father, work in our hearts tonight. Might we draw closer to you. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. It's written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. The idea of avenging is to vindicate one's right, to do one justice, to punish a person for something. And God says, don't do that. Avenge not yourselves. He says, but give place unto wrath. That idea of place is the condition or station held by one in a company or assembly. It's sometimes translated place or room or quarter or license throughout the scriptures there. And of course, the vengeance, the meeting out of justice. There is one who meets out justice, isn't there? And that's our God. And we are to allow him to do that. It's not our place we saw earlier, we're not to rend evil for evil or evil, but even when we're done wrong, the making of that right is not our place. God is the one who will make things right, who will make things just. And so Paul pulls in the scripture, Old Testament scripture, Deuteronomy 32:35. God says, to me belongeth vengeance. That's where he's talking about. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time. Those who are have set themselves up for God's vengeance, God says, in due time it will come. And we are to commit that unto God. He will take care of that. Those who do his people wrong, the world that persecutes his people, he will take care of that vengeance. It will be meted out. And a lot of times we don't see justice fulfilled in this life. But listen, there is ultimate justice. You can believe that. And we'll see that. And we ought to be living accordingly, knowing that we're going to see that. And God tells us in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, what? God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so that certainly is the case. And as far as lost people go, I mean, we ought to wish them the best in this life. I mean, we ought to, you know, I mean, this unless they get saved, this is the best they're going to have. You know, and many of they're miserable. They're not finding satisfaction in things. They're trying to find them in any way outside of Christ. And so we ought not to, you know, be wanting, you know, to heap problems upon them because of their persecution of us or such, lest they get saved. This is it, and just reaching out to them, praying for grace to, you know, to live the way God tells us to live. There's no place for self-vengeance in the Christian life. And so, and yet we feel our old nature when we're offended. You know, we want that. We want to say something. We want to, you know, something we can do or withhold some kindness that otherwise we would have dealt out. You know, there's different ways to have vengeance. You know, and we need to be careful that we watch those kind of attitudes. So we're told that vengeance is mine. God says, I will repay. Saith the Lord. By the way, what have we been forgiven? We've been forgiven everything, haven't we? When he forgave our sins, as far as hell goes, he forgave our sins past, present, and future, didn't he? He made one sacrifice for sins forever, and he's not going back on that cross. He's not turning back into that wafer, back into that cup, like the Catholic Church says, you know, where it's his literal blood, his literal body, and so he's literally suffering again. No, he gave himself one time, the Bible says in Hebrews, just once, and for the sins of the whole world. We are thankful for that. So he says not to avenge ourselves. God will take care of that. We talked last week about God taking care of our lot. And he's our keeper. And he holds the gates to the things that come into our lives, and nothing can come in that he can't use for our good and his glory. And so we need to remember that. So he goes on. Since we are not to render evil for evil, earlier in the chapter, since we are to bless those that that curse us, since we are just to simply bless and curse not, earlier in the chapter, since we are not to avenge ourselves, as this verse here just says, but let God avenge us when we are wrong, then verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, what? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. So keep doing right, and God will bless that. Now he says he's quoting, he's bringing in Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. It's amazing how much of the Old Testament is in the New Testament. The more I read the Bible, I tell you, it is just amazing. You know, people that think the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament haven't read the Bible close enough, okay? And there's a whole lot of grace and mercy in the Old Testament too. And God, it's a great blessing. But Proverbs 25, 21, 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. So that's where Paul's getting that from. Now, what is he talking about there? Thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Well, there's a couple of views. One view is that it's an Egyptian ritual by which a man showed his repentance by carrying a pan of burning charcoal upon his head. This was a dynamic symbol of a change of mind which had taken place in his life. The meaning then would be that our act of love in giving our enemy food and drink would bring about a change of attitude toward us. That's one view. That's not the prevailing view. That's kind of odd, I would think. But the prevailing view is that heaping coals of fire on the head refers to a sense of shame or punishment or remorse which is engendered in the mind of our enemy when we show kindness in return to the cursing, in return to the persecution. It heaps on that shame. And I think that's more of a fitting interpretation. That's a powerful sermon, by the way. When you turn around and bless those that curse you, when you turn around and do good to those and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that is a powerful sermon. And by the way, who's going to argue against that? it's something what God wants us to do. And only by God's grace. By the way, that's not natural. That's not humanly natural to do that, is it? To do good to our enemies. And yet we are obviously to do that. We ought to be living lives that bear witness to the truth. Our lives really should bring the world to shame when they examine our lives. And by the way, many times that may be why somebody of the world gets a little cross with you or me. Not because we've done anything, because they look at your life or my life, and what happens? Those daggers start coming because they know, you know, that what they're doing is wrong. You know, and you can refrain from doing something that the world's doing and not preach a word about it. But what did you preach? That's wrong. I don't think that's pleasing to God. You not say a word and just be kind and refrain. But they know you're a Christian, you know. And what do you say? And you're saying that's wrong. I don't want any part in that. But that's okay. God gives grace, doesn't He? And some will be shamed. Some will be, hearts will be melted because of that shame. And some hearts will be hardened. It depends upon what they're going to do with that when the Spirit begins to work there. We are to have in our speech and our doctrine in Titus 2:8 sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Peter talking about our life, he says in 1 Peter 3:16, he writes, having a good conscience. Remember we talked about in the recent lesson and message, having a conscience void of offense, judging ourselves that we should not be judged. And Peter kind of talks about that. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, the King James word conversation there doesn't mean your talk. It means your life. He's saying live in such a way, the people that are hardening their hearts against the godly witness are going to what? Going to say some bad things. About you. That's what they've done to the prophets. That's what they've done to many godly people. But when they do, some other people are going to begin to watch you or I. And what do they say? Huh? Well, chief, I don't see this. Seems like a nice person. Seems like they're living a virtuous life. And they begin looking maybe a little crossways at the one who was saying that you were so bad, and such. And so the other person becomes shamed, for putting the Christian down. We ought to do that, and God helps us with that. Little trick: somebody does you wrong, and you feel that anger kind of bubbling up, and that spirit, that kind of wrong spirit, just doesn't want to go away. Proverbs 21:14. A little trick for there. Proverbs 21:14. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and reward in the bosom strong wrath. A gift in secret pacifieth anger. You can take that a couple ways. Remember Jacob returning back from getting his wives and all from Laban, his Laban's household there, getting his wives, and he was going to meet Esau. Remember what did he do? He sent all the gifts ahead, didn't he? And Esau received him. Of course, we don't know if the gifts, we don't know what Esau's countenance was like before he received all the. He said, "What's all this? I don't need this stuff. I have enough." And they actually had a kind of a good reunion there. But he sent all those gifts ahead, what? In hopes to appease at least the wrath or anger that he thought Esau would have. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. We're just not told there. But listen, you get crossways with somebody, or somebody does you wrong, give them a gift in secret and see if you can stay mad at them. Give them a gift in secret and see if you can stay mad at them. It works. and that'll help our spirit. And God knows what he's talking about. So, verse 21, Romans 12, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's the only thing that does overcome evil, is good. And we need to learn that. We need to practice that and see that. I think about Stephen when he preached that great, let's get Stephen a moment. I think about the Apostle Paul when they were ministering in Philippi. Silas and such and there in Philippi, and in Acts 16:22, the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks. That's not a fun place to be. After you're already beaten and bloody, and now you're thrown down in some mud hole and putting in the stalks that are all over you where you've been beaten and all. I mean, it's just not a pretty picture. And at midnight, Paul and Silas what? Prayed and sang praises unto God. Wow! By the way, that's another good thing when you start singing praises. You're suffering, start sing a song of praise, and you'll be surprised what that'll do to your spirit. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prisons were shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open, everyone's bands were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, what? Seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and what? Would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. What does Paul do? Oh, God. Well, as soon as he kills himself, we'll all run out. He's there now. They're gonna stop us if he's. We'll let him kill himself, and we'll all run out and escape. Is that what he does? What does he do? He does good to his enemy, doesn't he? And he cries out to his enemy. Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." Isn't that something? It's amazing to me the Holy Spirit freed them all and made them all stay there. That's amazing, isn't it? And so what happens? Then the jailer goes in, he calls for a light, sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Here I am. The doors are open. I was going to kill myself. You all could have charged out and killed me. Well, everybody's loose now. And you're ministering to me. I had you thrown in the worst place in the prison since I found out you're such an important prisoner. And look what you do to me. You say, don't harm yourself. He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That is, if your house believes, they'll be saved too. And so they give him the gospel, and he gets saved. They do good to him. Overcome evil with good. By the way, Christ overcame for us, didn't he? We are called overcomers. Who is he that overcomes? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the Bible says. And so we've overcome. He was accused by the scribes and Pharisees of casting out devils by Beelzebub, by the prince of the devils. And Jesus' answer in Luke 11:19 to that was, "And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keep with his palace, his goods are in peace. That's the devil. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, that's our Lord, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Jesus freed the prison house for us, didn't he? And he loosed the shackles, didn't he? And let us all out. He has made us overcomers so that we can live this way. You know, I think about Stephen when he was stoned there, preaching that sermon in the book of Acts. And remember what he prayed there at the end? Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Remember what they saw his face as? They saw his face as what? The face of an angel. You remember what they accused him of? Of blaspheming the law and Moses and the temple and such? They accused him of blasphemy. And he preached that hard sermon. And then they go to stone him. And they look at him. And they see his face as though it was the face of an angel. I wonder if his face... Remember Moses when he was talking to the Lord when he went into the tabernacle there? And he came out. And what? His face glowed. And then they were so fearful of that, you know, finally Moses had to cover his face when he came out and talked to the people, and he went back, he uncovered, talked to God, he uncovered his face. But when he came out, he glowed. And Stephen has an angelic countenance upon him. That bear witness to the fact that all those accusations upon him were lies. God, right in their face, uses their own persecution to show, in a sense, his glory. His glory shone through Moses after Moses had been with him. And they just accuse him of being a blasphemer and speaking against the temple and all that. And he's going to destroy the law and all that. Call him a blasphemer. What? He's like the face of an angel. And with that countenance, what did he say? He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Wow. You talk about being good to your enemy. Oh, my goodness. And God help us. The church, God has so often done that, taking what the devil uses and turns it around on him and uses it for great glory. Because when they stoned Stephen, they laid down their clothes at a feet by a man named who? Saul. They thought we're going to end this here. You know, we're going to... Yeah, it was just the beginning in a big way. And so God used Stephen for that. All right. We're a little bit early tonight. I do have a couple of very short missionary letters. And just want to read you an update them. I have one from Brother Bernard. And Brother Bernard in Curacao. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of love, the love which ye have to all the saints. This is one of several of the passages of Scripture I will be using to bring some messages. For an anniversary service, I have been given the privilege to be the speaker for 4 days on May 13th through 16th, so we're looking back now, on the island of Barbados. This year started out with some visitors and have continued recently with a visit from a boy right next to where we are meeting. This is actually the second person who has visited who lives in very close proximity to where we actually meet. This has opened the door that I may be able to meet with his parents in person. The people we had met in person on visits in that area have never shown up, even though some said they would. Closer to the last 2 months, I had run out of tracks because of an unforeseen delay in the shipment. It looked like this was going to continue since I had not heard anything about them until a salesman intervened by getting permission from the manager from the manager of a buying club to place the tracks in a container that was being shipped to their store. The manager agreed, and I received the tracks in a relatively short period of time. Praise the Lord. I have enough to last for at least a year. Wow. So, wow, praise God for that. With every home visited in So West, visitation is ongoing ongoing in SOHO East. The east side of SOHO has a larger population of people, as I'm told. One of the difference between the two sides are the paved roads. I used to think it was a different area altogether, but it turned out not to be so. Remember this area in prayer, that we might have doors open to receive the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also pray concerning the property and believers that are supposed to be planning on being a part of this ministry. There have been some delay because of them not getting all the information that was necessary for things to move forward. There is a plan to meet in June to see if all will be okay. If so, then the accepting of them will take place. So we'll continue to pray about that. And boy, we know how those things can go. There's a lot of stuff can, you know, get in there. So let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Brother Bernard. And God, I pray you bless them passing out those tracts in the western part of SOHO now. And God, I pray that some souls will be saved, some lives will be changed. Father, I pray that some people that said they'd come would come. And God, they don't know what they're missing if they don't know you, Lord. And Father, would you work and draw them in? And would you give Brother Bernard strength to continue? And would you work this building out, God, if this thing be your will, Father, that move those... provide the information that's necessary and those who can help along the way to facilitate it, God. And might you just please show your hand in a mighty way there. And we thank you for helping Brother Bernard there, blessing him so much there. Father, helping him to be faithful there and be with him even now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This one's from the Kleins. Brother Klein writes, off to family camp. In January, this is their first quarter letter, in January we received an invitation to a family camp all the way across the country. It was the first family camp we have been able to attend since living in Argentina. It's been a little while. We invited a couple of other families to attend, but for a variety of reasons, they were not able to go. We were thrilled when Matthias, 14, and Timoteo, 15, two friends of the boys, were eager and ready to go with us in our van. Amen. After a fun week of preaching and playing, Matthias made a profession of faith. Amen. Repenting and asked Jesus Christ to save him. Timoteo went forward, but after questioning him regarding sin and salvation, we discovered he was still confused and did not have a clear understanding of the gospel. What an exciting week we had with many special blessings. I guess they didn't do one of those just repeat this prayer after me things, you know. And they have to actually understand and want. Yeah, I appreciate them taking the care for that. He goes on. The boys and I had the opportunity to visit a new community. Due to the road conditions, we were not about to take our family cars, so the girls could not go. We had a chance to visit people in the community and are hoping to go back soon. When we inquired about starting a church there, they told us they were sick of religion. They said a prophet visits them, stays in their home, eats their food, and leaves without any reimbursement. They have a very nice building that would be perfect for church services. Please pray that God works in their hearts as we continue to visit and work toward having services there. A couple times a month, the boys go out into a neighboring community for special services. There are usually three or four older people that attend. Matthew preaches and the boys sing specials. They really enjoy their time ministering to these people. The children had the opportunity to attend their first wedding in Argentina. They had a wonderful time and participated in many new cultural experiences. They were full of stories when they came home. Emily was thrilled to have caught the bride's bouquet. I'll bet. All right. And he says, picture of the culture change here. He says, the wood is stacked. The cow is in the freezer. Tomato sauce is preserved. Mushrooms are picked and dried. The days are getting shorter. The nights are freezing. We are ready for winter. Every year in Argentina brings more understanding of how the culture works and makes it easier for our family to function. We are very thankful to God for all the people he has brought into our lives and for his daily care. Amen. He writes, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. What a blessing. We're thankful for the Kleins. So let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, I thank you to be able to hear from our missionaries. I thank you for the Kleins in Argentina. Dear God, it's a difficult place there, and ministering to these Mapuche Indians in the mountains. And Father, I pray that you would help them to continue, give them grace. Father, I pray for this village. And Lord, we don't know completely what the problem is regarding their dislike of what they call religion. Maybe they're not spiritual. They ought to support someone. If they are preaching the word, they ought to be willing to give in some way toward that. But maybe it is someone who's coming in a sense, robbing. Maybe it's someone who wouldn't preach unless he was paid, unless he could have their stuff. That wouldn't be right either. God, I pray you'd work it out there. And we pray that the Kleins would be able to get in there and show them the love of Christ. Dear God, that they would be able to give them the gospel, and that both they would see a people who are ministering out of a heart of love, and that these people also might have a heart to want to give and to support ones who would be working for you, who would be working in your power and in your spirit. Oh God, would you please work that out? Continue to bless the services the boys have and those that come in a special and powerful way. Help them in finishing their preparations for winter, getting ready for that, and reaching those around them as best they can. Bless them in their ministry from the building they have in town now as well, and bless them in that, dear God, we pray. We thank you so much for them, and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand and we'll